Broadcasting life and truth around the world, you're listening to the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. As always, great to be in the studio. The questions again answered when you dial 888-ASK, Hank, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And a reminder that our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Saw an article today in the Washington Examiner titled "Politico Whitewashes the Horror of Aborting Triplets." The article by Philip Wegman points out that Dostoevsky observed that man could get used to, well, virtually anything. And Orwell explained much the same thing, how political jargon gives a defense of that which is indefensible. But rather than admit that the only way to turn triplets into twins is to kill a baby, Portico hides behind a euphemism. And rather than react in horror at the death of a preborn child, they printed a splashy graphic to explain, well, the decline of triplets, as if the procedure was the equivalent of filling a dental cavity. In short, they casually whitewashed slaughter. And the article points out precisely how they do that. This is graphic, but I think it needs to be heard. A doctor uses ultrasound. That ultrasound is used in order to maneuver the unborn baby into the right position. Then a syringe of toxic potassium chloride is inserted into the mother's belly. That long needle is then stabbed into the child's little heart until the child's heart stops beating. But Politico calls this just a reduction. Real horror goes unnoticed when imprecise language transforms a callous abortion into, well, an unremarkable reduction. The public can become accustomed to the most revolting of horrors if, in fact, these horrors are prepackaged correctly. In the end, Orwell was right about this. And I happened to write about this subject in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. And there I put forth an acronym, the acronym ABORTION, so people are equipped to annihilate abortion arguments. While I won't go through that acronym on the show today, I do want to highlight the O in abortion. The first O in abortion I dubbed the opium effect. And this is in keeping with the article that I just read to you where clever code words are the opium of the pro-abortion lobby. Those code words are specifically designed to dull human sensibilities to something that is absolutely horrendous, the horror of abortion. And we see this all around. For example, the moniker Planned Parenthood. That may well be the quintessential example. The positive ring of the words mask the horrific reality that to abort a preborn child is tantamount to terminating a life. As Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger famously pontificated, the most merciful thing a large family can do for one of its infant members is to kill it. And such killings, again, are positively repositioned as pro-choice prerogatives. The preborn children terminated, well, they're indelicately rendered fetuses. And pro-life advocates are profanely recast as social extremists. Again, this is the opium effect, the effect of clever code words. And this has been used to great effect within this Holocaust that is going on within our midst. Abortion is the painful killing of an innocent human being. And we ought to get that squarely in our psyche. And we ought to be able to communicate this because it's painful for the child in that methods employed involve burning and smothering and dismembering and crushing. It's killing in that from the very beginning, that which is terminated fulfills the criteria necessary for establishing the existence of biological life. And that includes metabolism, it includes development, the ability to react to stimuli, cell reproduction, and the like. I say it's the innocent killing, or the painful killing of an innocent human being, innocent in that the preborn child deserves protection, not capital punishment. And the painful killing of an innocent human being in that the child who is killed is the offspring of human parents, has a totally distinct genetic code. And since abortion is nothing short of terminating the life of a person created in the image of God, it's important, again, for us to get this information into our minds. Also wanted to mention something that came up that I wanted to talk about. I never got around to it, but I read that California became the first state in America to legally recognize a third gender after Democrat Governor Jerry Brown signed the legislation. And so state driver's licenses, birth certificates, and other identity documents will now allow residents to check non-binary rather than just male or female. And that's not all. Scott Wiener partnered with Democratic State Senator Tony Atkinson to push this bill, and Wiener is also responsible for introducing a bill that gives jail time, think about this, jail time to certain Californians who refuse to use transgender pronouns. Talk about an incursion on freedom of speech, but even more than that, on plain old biology. Today, it has become hip, fashionable, a fad, to no longer tie gender to biology, instead to tie it to how someone feels. And this, of course, is hurting the very people that are allegedly being helped in some way, hurting them in that at early ages, children are being told a narrative. If you feel like you're a girl trapped in a boy's body or a boy trapped in a girl's body, we can do something about that. You can start hormone therapy. You can start counseling that help you identify with whatever your perceived gender might be. And a pox on anybody's house that might communicate anything different than the cultural narrative. And so these kids grow up, they go through the hormone therapy. Oftentimes they get into surgery and they either become feminized men or masculinized women, but in either case you cannot change biology because biology is something that is constructed, as it were, on a cellular basis. So many people, once they have gotten into this, they've bought into the narrative, they've lived the lifestyle, they've forsaken their gender, and then they want to commit suicide because of the horrors exacted on them as a result of their perceived feelings, which now have changed over time, but it's very hard to eradicate what they have done to themselves physically. These are issues that we are grappling with, and it is important for us to speak the truth with love, but it is unloving not to tell the truth, particularly in an age in which truth is so obscure and falsehood so established that unless you love the truth, you cannot know it. It's unfortunate when you use the internet for any period of time, you will see how internet lies. Well, they travel all around the world. And therefore, it's critical as Christians that we learn discernment skills. If we don't have discernment skills, if we can't discern between wheat and chaff, heat and light, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. I want to take a Facebook question. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. A Facebook question that came in that I did not get an opportunity to answer when we were on Facebook live was from Alex, who was wondering where Melchizedek came from. It seems like Abraham paid him a tithe. And Alex is absolutely right. Abraham did pay him a tithe. From an earthly perspective, Abraham was king of Salem. In other words, he was king of Jerusalem. But from the perspective of heaven, he remains a priest forever, meaning that Melchizedek is not an earthly ruler. He remains a priest forever. And a lot of this was elucidated by the Melchizedek scroll that was found in cave number 11, and in various ways equates Melchizedek with God Almighty. But even before this discovery, the biblical text ought to have been compelling in this regard. The biblical text lets us know, and this is Hebrews chapter 7, that Melchizedek was without mother or father, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life. So Scripture not only designates Melchizedek king of righteousness and prince of peace, but in contrast to men who die, Melchizedek is declared to be the living. So this is a Christophany. This is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. I write about this in a book called Has God Spoken? I also allude to this in an entry in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, in which I tackle the Dead Sea Scrolls and how the Dead Sea Scrolls buttress God's preservation of Scriptures. I I'll also have a little acronym there that's helpful. You can find all of that in the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Do want to mention a couple of things. One is The Last Christians by Andreas Knopp, available for those who support the ministry all this month. Check it out on the web at equip.org. And my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Virtually every day I'm doing an interview on that book now. And a lot of reviews coming in on the book. Love to have you react to the book. You can find a copy at equip.org or in bookstores everywhere around the world. So get your copy through the Christian Research Institute. 100% of the proceeds go to this ministry. And it helps us carry on the work of this ministry 24/7 around the world. Number to dial, 888 to Ask Hank. We'll be back in just a moment with answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. The current narrative is that to tell the truth in this regard is tantamount to radicalizing Muslims and exacerbating hostilities that may otherwise lie dormant. A common refrain has reverberated throughout the West: Islam is not our enemy. As well-intentioned as this mantra may be, the danger in this stance becomes clear once someone understands Islam in full. Read the new book by Hank Hanegraaff, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity. cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. The current narrative is that to tell the truth in this regard is tantamount to radicalizing Muslims and exacerbating hostilities that may otherwise lie dormant. A common refrain has reverberated throughout the West: Islam is not our enemy. As well-intentioned as this mantra may be, the danger in this stance becomes clear once someone understands Islam in full. Read the new book by Hank Hanegraaff, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Well, let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A brand new edition of the Christian Research Journal available for those who subscribe. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can also write us, as always, at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As well, you can talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. I want to say something about what I have written in my book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Last couple of days, I talked about the deity of Jesus Christ denied by Islam, the doctrine of original sin also denied by Islam. For them, it is not an original sin. It's an original slip, a mere bout of forgetfulness or heedlessness, depending on who you're listening to. But the C in the acronym doctrine that I want to focus in on to separate Christianity and Islam for those who think that, well, it's six of one, half dozen of the other, you immediately recognize that we have two sources of authority. The Quran is the source of authority for Islam. The Bible is the source of authority for Christians. So now the question becomes, which one has gravitas? Which one corresponds to reality? Which one is truly authentic? Well, from a Muslim perspective, God spoke through the Archangel Gabriel, who dictated the Quran to Muhammad over a period of about 23 years. It is said that Muhammad then memorized the words, that he dictated what he had memorized to his companions, and that they in turn memorized these words and then reviewed it with the prophet to make sure that what they had was correct. And therefore, the assertion in Islam is that not even one letter of the Quran has been changed over the centuries. In fact, that's what followers of Muhammad called the miracle of the Quran. It exists in its original text without the slightest alteration of letter, syllable, jot, or tittle. No change has occurred in a single word, not even a single punctuation mark has been altered. And therefore, the promise of the Quran is that we have without doubt sent down the message and we will assuredly guard it from corruption. Well, think about that for a moment. We have the assurance that the Quran is correctly conveyed from the 7th century to the 21st century with respect to ethics. And I think in our epoch of time, we ought to underscore the fact that the ethics of the Quran are ethics that do not belong in any century. There's no place for polygamy in any century. It was a sin according to the Bible. And so when the patriarchs indulged in the sin, they were reproved. And the consequences of that sin clearly pointed out in the panoply of Scripture. Exactly the opposite is true in the Quran. There, polygamy is lauded. Muhammad could have any woman that devotes her life, well, to the Prophet. And men in general can have not just one or two wives, but three or four wives. And they can divorce those wives with ease and therefore add to the number of wives quite conveniently. A very, very big difference in the ethic communicated in Scripture and that which you find in the Quran. I mentioned on previous shows how the Quran allows men to beat their wives, to bring their wives into submission. And what I find absolutely stunning is that cultural elites who seem, on one hand, to care about the role and plight of women who are being objectified in our culture, can at the same time laud Quranic passages and say that those Quranic passages ought to be applied in Western civilization exactly as Muslims see fit. Obama, for example, was famous for beating that particular drum. You not only have these kinds of faulty ethics, but men being able to capture women and have sex with the captured women. This no longer is just the word of Muhammad, but it is the word of Allah. It's one thing for Muhammad to apply these kinds of morals in a 7th century context. It's another for Allah to apply these kinds of morals and then to have Islam teach us that every single letter, syllable, jot, or tittle is inviolate. In many ways, in that respect, there are a lot of similarities between the Book of Mormon and the Quran, because the Book of Mormon is said to be accurate with respect to every single word, not just every single word, but every single letter. Again, I've written about this in a whole lot more detail in my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, that book available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can find it online at equip.org. Available for those who support the ministry. And when people join Sierra's monthly support team, be pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or to a friend. What's up?
I was just thinking, you know, Xander wants to give those books to his Bible teachers.
Which books?
Muslim.
Oh.
He was like, oh, they need to know this. Was, okay, Xander, we'll get you copies if you want.
Yeah.
It was a good book. I've read it.
Well, that's great. Jim, you said the Quran has ethics that don't belong in any century. You are right. And the same should be said about the Bible. Well, I was actually making the point that the same should not be said about the Bible. I mean, if you think about the ethics of Jesus Christ and the ethics of Muhammad, they're completely different. I don't know what your perspective, Jim, is, and I don't know where it comes from, but you think, for example, about Jesus Christ. He lived in a first century context. In a context in which women were considered chattel. They're on the lowest rung of the socioeconomic ladder. Their testimonies were not considered valid in a court of law. And Jesus takes women and he elevates women to complete ontological equality with men in that culture. He has women in his inner circle. And not only is this true with Jesus Christ, it is true with the followers of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul famously said, in Christ there's no male or female. There's no slave or free. There is no Jew or Greek. Genealogy doesn't matter. Gender doesn't matter. Station in life does not matter. In fact, we get the inherent worth of human beings from the Bible, from a biblical ethic. And I think if people knew a little bit about history, they would know that we are still benefiting from the ethos and mores of the Bible, which have been thrown to the wind in our culture, but we're still benefiting from them. So even though we're no longer living in the pages of the Bible, we're living in the shadow of the Bible, we're still benefiting from a biblical worldview. So when someone cavalierly says, and I think the same thing should be said about the Bible, I sometimes wonder, and I don't know if this is the case with you or not, Jim, but I sometimes wonder whether you're familiar with the Bible or whether or not you know how to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. So maybe a bit of a challenge to you, with gentleness and with respect, read the Bible. Maybe you should start with the book of Proverbs. Every single maxim or principle for successful daily living encapsulated in the Proverbs. I still remember one time many, many years ago, I was doing a seminar for a large corporation, and I was extemporaneously quoting the Proverbs. Every enterprise becomes strong through wise planning, grows through common sense, and profits wonderfully by staying abreast of the facts. As I was going through proverb after proverb after proverb, people were going, wow, that's amazing. I've never heard such erudite business principles. And then I told them I was simply quoting from Solomon in the Bible.
You like that trick a lot, don't you?
Huh?
You've used that before.
I have used that. I've used that trick on you, as you probably know.
And I think I countered it.
Let's take a... you probably did counter. Oh, I was just going to go to the phone line. I mean, to the... the calls on the radio, but I'm looking at the clock. I probably don't have enough time to do that. Any comment you want to read? You only have about a minute.
George says, looking great, Hank.
Ooh, I love that.
let's see. James says, tears of joy from your news. Praise be to God. Michael says, God bless you and your family and ministry, Hank. May God continue to bless you. Allison is sending prayers for healing. Mark says he's been listening to you for over 20 years.
Wow.
Angelica says, so, so true. Bible and Quran have very different messages. Getting a lot of great stuff here. And we have some questions, but we'll probably get to those after the break.
Yeah, we're going to have the quote of the day after we come back from the break and more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered on the Bible Answer Man broadcast when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. I look forward to being in the studio answering your questions. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
We live in what Oz Guinness calls an ABC moment, anything but Christianity, a moment in which Christianity is routinely ridiculed and Islam is referred to with reverential tones. Yet ABC can also serve to remind us that the solution for regaining Western civilization and defeating global Islamic jihadism is ultimately grounded in answers, biblical literacy, and countering cults. This is the task of the Christian Church, the pillar and ground of truth. Find out more in Hank Hanegraaff's new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Ideas have consequences, and in the case of Islam, the consequences historically have been unimaginably brutal. To believe that Islam is a religion of peace is a potentially fatal fiction. This is the time for naive and trusting Christians to take their heads out of the sand. True Islam has zero appreciation for the freedoms of Western democracies and would substitute the dehumanizing oppression of Sharia law in a heartbeat if given the chance. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. We need many people to stand with us prayerfully and financially. We just took a great leap of faith. I've often said there's no safer place than in a leap of faith. We've redone our entire studio so that we can take advantage of the opportunities that God has provided in an age of technology to reach around the world through the medium of social media, combined with what we're doing, in terrestrial radio, satellite radio, So if you can stand with us at this time, prayerfully and financially, it would make a difference in the lives of so many people. It's a great investment, not only for time, but an investment for eternity. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultants who are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. The quote of the day comes from someone that I greatly admire. I've always butchered his name. I'll try not to do that today. His name is Alexander. I can get that part of it straight all the time. Schmemann. And he is the author of many books that I have appreciated over the years, including a book titled For the Life of the World and a book titled Introduction to Liturgical Theology. He's poignant and he is profound. The quote of the day is as follows: Holy is the real name of God, of the God not of scholars and philosophers, but of the living God of faith. The knowledge about God results in, well, in definitions and distinctions. The knowledge of God leads to this one incomprehensible yet obvious and inescapable word, holy. And in this word we express both that God is the absolutely other being, the one about whom we can know nothing, and that he is in the end of all of our hunger, of all of our desires, the inaccessible one who mobilizes our wills, the mysterious treasure that attracts us. And there's really nothing to know but him. And as others have said, we find our all in him. And I think it's a wonderful thing to recognize, on the one hand, that God is ineffable. He is unknowable in his essence. But he has made himself known in his energies and through Emmanuel, God with us. And as you think about the fact that you are growing in the grace and knowledge of God now, think about the fact that you will grow in the grace and knowledge of God for all eternity. You'll do so redeemed. You'll do so without error. But humanity, even in the redeemed state, cannot bear the burden of omniscience. We will not know everything. And what an incredible thought that we will continue to probe the mystery of the ineffable God who saves us by his grace. I want to go to a Facebook question. It's a question written in by Maureen, who says she's a subscriber to the Christian Research Journal. I want to stop right there for a moment and say the Christian Research Journal is available for those who support the ministry. You can find it on the web at equip.org. There's a brand new edition of the journal out. It is a subscription magazine. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Also, we send out periodic newsletters. You can find those through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute at equip.org. And so there are many ways in which we are equipping people through the printed page. But anyway, Maureen says, I'm a subscriber of the Christian Research Journal. I've ordered lots of materials from CRI. The information you and CRI have provided have benefited me and my entire family greatly. God bless you. My question is about Christians who say that the Bible teaches that the earth is flat. They refer to themselves as flat earthers. Could you please tell me your views on this subject? Exactly how is it that they come to the conclusion that the Bible teaches that the earth is flat? Thank you. I'm sending you light and loving prayers in this time of health struggles. Thank you so much, Maureen. Yeah, how is it that someone could come up with the conclusion that the Bible teaches that the earth is flat. And the truth of the matter is, people come to conclusions like that because they've never understood the art and science of biblical interpretation. And so they do not read the Bible as literature. They read the Bible in a wooden, literalistic way. And there are many examples that have been forwarded by flat earthers. It's hard to believe that they actually exist, but they do. They're forwarded by flat earthers on the right. Also, however, and I'll try to explain this, cash this out. These kinds of passages are misread by fundamentalist critics on the left. So you have a sword that cuts both ways, and it's a devastating sword. So you think about the passages that they use. Well, one of the primary passages is Psalm 48, verse 10, according to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Now, if you take that in a wooden literalistic fashion, you have the ends of the earth. Ah, the earth must be flat. Here is proof positive. Or Deuteronomy 13:7. If anyone entices you secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, whom neither you nor your fathers have known, of the gods of the people which are round about you, neither near or far, from the one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth, do not yield to him. Again, there you have it in black and white in the scripture. The Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. The earth is flat. Or Matthew 4:8 comes to mind. Again, the devil took Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, that famous temptation passage, takes Jesus to a very high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world and all their splendor. So, well, you get to the top of a high mountain and you can see all the kings of the earth, all the kingdoms of the earth, and all their splendor. Well, that means that the earth has to be flat. If the earth was spherical, that could never happen. So what's going on here? What's going on here is poetic language is being forced to walk on all fours. And many examples can be given that not only impugn flat earthers, but also many who seem to believe that somehow or other the Bible deals with modern cosmology as well. And there's a favorite verse that is used by people in both camps. That verse is Isaiah 40:22, which says, it is God who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. It is God who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. So here you have all kinds of novel possibilities. First of all, you have the idea that here the Bible clearly is teaching sphericity because it says the circle of the earth. Well, we could teach sphericity, but this passage certainly is not doing so. Other people say this passage most certainly teaches Big Bang cosmology. Why? Because God stretches out or spreads out. Ah, this is from the hot primordial atom to the present. So here you have Big Bang cosmology. Now, I certainly agree with Big Bang cosmology. I think it is, until proven otherwise, the best cosmology there is. We don't live in an eternal universe. The universe began to exist at a point in time. So Big Bang cosmology makes a whole lot of sense. However, this passage, once again, says nothing whatsoever about Big Bang cosmology. People have to read that into the passage. And of course, you have the flat earthers that say, here we have another classic text that teaches that the earth is flat because God spreads out the inhabitants, spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. So he sits upon or above the circle of the earth. The inhabitants are grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a curtain, and then he spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. And there we have all kinds of possibilities, but those possibilities are only rife if you don't know, again, how to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. And I would tell those who feel that what I'm saying is not particularly helpful to actually go to the biblical text itself and then continue to read, because to read Isaiah in this way leads to the further absurdity that God lives in a physical mansion and drives around in an exotic chariot. But let me talk about this in a more global sense. You know, this idea of flat earth is propaganda to begin with. Unanimous scholarly opinion from Augustine to Aquinas pronounced the earth spherical. Not only that, but it doesn't take a rocket scientist to recognize that a lunar eclipse is not produced by a flat earth. Even the Greeks before the time of Christ knew full well that the earth was spherical. So the bottom line is that the flat earth mentality is more appropriately attached to evolutionists like Darwin, who claim that man can attain to a higher importance in whatever he takes up than can woman, or Enlightenment philosopher David Hume, who rendered blacks naturally inferior to whites. Now that's real flat earth mentality. These are people who simply are, quite frankly, bereft of their scientific acumen or senses in an age of scientific enlightenment. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be operating on all cylinders coming up Monday right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Join us for the show. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great weekend. Look forward to the next time.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. Did you know that the Quran and the Hadith are full of commands to subjugate or kill unbelievers, and that Sharia mandates proactive and perpetual war against Jews and Christians? In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of CRI, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you his new book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI. Make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.